from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show. And I
bet you're the owner of a marriage. Chris Haney joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Goodbye Summer by Eyeball country singer Johnny Fritz on his album Bad Country. Goodbye to NBA Summer League. So close yet so far.
Grizzlies came so close yesterday. The Elam ending. In the end, they lose 120 to 118 in overtime. What was the best thing that happened for the Grizzlies in Summer League this time around? Single best thing.
Oh, I think even though we didn't see much of it, it was Zach Edey. I mean, you know, he played 43 minutes total, one full game, and then a little 8-minute cameo. But my expectation when they drafted him was he would be the starting center on opening night, and nothing he did in those 43 minutes suggested that he won't be. I think we saw everything that we think will be his strengths, he displayed in those 43 minutes. The things that we think will be his weaknesses weren't really tested, so we're going to see about that. But I think, you know, he was the most important player, even though he didn't play a lot. It was disappointing he didn't play more. When he did play, it was very encouraging.
In terms of that, being the starter on opening night, which you predicted for a long time now, at this point, do you think it's, like, overwhelmingly likely that he will be? Would you be stunned might be too strong a word. Would you be surprised at this point if he is not the – I mean, is it a foregone conclusion? How would you rank the possibility that he is, or rate the possibility that he will be the starter?
No, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion because, you know, what if he comes out and he really struggles, right?
Right.
But I think if he is healthy, we're always assuming everyone's healthy in these.
Right.
If everyone's healthy, it just makes the most sense. Brandon Clark himself has said he would rather come off the bench behind a big center. You know, you could do Santi. That's sort of, to me, probably more the question. I don't think Brandon Clark's going to start. You know, do you want to play that five out kind of stuff with Santi? But you just drafted Zach Edey to be your center.
Right.
And he just played 4 years of college basketball. And you don't know whether Santi's going to be on the team a year from now. So I think, like, you know, there's no reason to slow roll this. I mean, you draft Edey to be your starting center. Let's go.
Okay. What is the second best thing that happened from the Grizzlies this summer? Summer League.
Oh, I think, you know, I mean, Scottie Pippen Jr. was the best player. But, again, I'll go back to who means more. And I think G.G. Jackson, you know, people got so high on him the way he finished last season. But, like, go back to a year ago. G.G. Jackson, Summer League year one. G.G. Jackson, Summer League year two. You want to see dramatic leaps from, like, 1 year to the next. You saw a dramatic leap. he was terrible in game one in Salt Lake City. And then after that, he settled down and he was really good. He was consistently productive. Were there issues here and there? Yeah, he's 19 years old. He's still the youngest player on the Summer League team. But he ended up being, among players who played more than two games, he was the second leading scorer in the Vegas Summer League. He was also a top 10 rebounder in Vegas Summer League. And he showed that three-level scoring, be able to hit threes, be able to use those long strides to get to the rim, to have enough craft to like to hit some mid-range stuff. He really, really stuck his nose in and hit the boards. And so it's still full speed ahead with G.G. Jackson. Looks like he's going to be a significant NBA player.
In terms of G.G., if you just start listing players who are going to play, you get the five players who we are going to presume starting, and I'll put Marcus Smart in there for now. And then you've got Vince Williams, Brandon Clark, Santi, and presuming they get this done with Luke Kennard. So that makes GG your 10th man in a 10-man rotation. Now, all those players don't play every night, obviously. They get hurt, they rest, whatever else. How do you imagine he will be deployed?
I imagine it will be that. It will be a second-unit guy, a second-unit scorer. But I think there's fluidity in the pecking order. I think he could easily pass Santi Aldama in the pecking order in terms of, you know, the way he's rebounding, he could, you know, take some of those power forward minutes. I think he could pass Luke Kennard in the pecking order. There's enough versatility there with players that players aren't locked in rigidly. Most players, like Zach Edey is, and Scottie Pippen and John Moran are. But the rest of the roster are not locked into rigid positions. And so I think, you know, he can earn. I mean, it's not impossible he's in the starting lineup if he just forces his way there. And, like, he's the fifth starter. I mean, I think your hope is that eventually that is where you are. But that I feel like that's, like, 2 years away, but maybe it's not. But I think, you know, there's a potential for him to push his way up. There's also the potential for him to struggle. And if, like, Jake LaRavia is playing well, like, he could be out of the rotation temporarily. And so I think there's a lot of fluidity there. But my assumption is that G.G. Jackson is sort of will be featured off the bench, and we'll see where it goes from there.
All right, we're going in order. So that's the best thing that happened was Zach Edey. Next best thing that happened was G.G. Jackson. And then you got choose between Scottie Pippen looking like he was supposed to look and Jake LaRavia. I guess that's more significant just because he's sort of a bigger investment, right? I don't know. I'd put that number three.
I would put Pippen number three. Okay. I don't think Pippen looked like he was supposed to look. I think he looked better.
Yeah.
And I think even though he is on a two-way and Jake LaRavia and Jalen Wells are going to be on the main roster, I think there's more of a need. There's more of a clear need on the team for Pippen, for to have a true guard who is playable, because you're not going to get a lot from Derrick Rose. You know, you can play without the true guard, which I think they will a lot, but they really need that option. And I think Pippen is highly likely. He's almost certain to play more than Jalen Wells. But there's a good chance he plays more than Jake LaRavia. You know, and there's a good chance he makes it onto the main roster before the season's over. I think he was really, really good. His defense was on ball, was pretty destructive. I think he showed, you know, more growth in terms of using his physicality to sort of get into the lane and to finish shots in the paint. I think the big thing is that he seemed in control. Like, with a point guard, you want the sense of, like, they are in control of things and they are leading the team. And he had that sort of presence about him in the summer league. So I think he should have been the MVP in the summer league, even in the Grizzlies' loss last night. I think start to end, he was the best player in summer league.
Did you ever see Jalen Wilson or note Jalen Wilson's summer league that allowed him to be both second team all summer league and league MVP?
No, I just box scores. I wasn't watching a lot of non-Grizzly
right,
summer league games.
Right.
But it was one of these weird things where clearly there were different pools of
exactly
for some reason, because you know, he was second team all summer league and then he won MVP, and so it's some question about different pools of voters, you know.
So on Scottie Pippen Jr., the way I phrased it earlier was his presence allows you to have Derrick Rose. You know, it makes Derrick Rose mentor possible, sort of. Right. I do wonder, both with the Marcus Smart, Vince Williams question of who's going to start, and the Scottie Pippen, Derrick Rose question, who's effectively going to be the backup point guard when it's not Desmond Bane or Marcus Smart, you know, on the ball. I do wonder for both of them, it will take a while to get to. I think most fans at this point would say, I think Vince Williams should start. Logic suggests that the fit would be better if Vince Williams started. And I think most fans would say, I kind of believe in Scottie Pippen Jr. now more than Derrick Rose. I do wonder if the first 10 games, it will be the other way. Like, if Derrick Rose is going to get more minutes in the first 10 games than Scottie Pippen Jr., and if Marcus Smart is going to start the season in the starting lineup more likely than Vince Williams. Your thoughts?
Well, I do think Marcus Smart is likely to start. I think Vince Williams makes more sense in purely basketball terms. A, if you fully believe what you saw from Vince Williams last season, and then B, if you're only considering pure X's and O's fit. But I think it's right to consider other things. So I think Marcus Smart will likely start. Those other things, to your point, may influence your use of Derrick Rose. Because even though he may be there mostly for locker room reasons, you want to respect him enough to get him on the floor. At least I think that's the way coaches will feel about it. I'll be curious to see how much they do that. I think it's pretty clear from a basketball standpoint that even when you factor in your two ways, he's like your 15th, 16th guy on an 18-man roster at best. I just think that's pretty clear at this point. So I would hope you wouldn't fool around too much. Like, I don't think they should say, like, he's playing 15 minutes a night until he gets hurt. Like, I just don't think that's the way they should be approaching it.
Right. All right, so then we've discussed Zach Edey, number one, second, Gigi Jackson's second best thing that happened. Scottie Pippen, in your mind, is the third best thing, his summer league. And then I take Jake LaRavia. What has he played himself into now? Has he played himself into a, hey, now he's actual tradable for value? Or, hey, now he's a guy who, when injuries happen, can move into the 10-man rotation?
I don't know. Yeah, I think more the latter. I saw someone on Twitter say, like, this is, you should trade Jack now, like, you know, sell high. I don't think he has a lot of trade value. I don't think he's a drag anymore. I think he's at least neutral. Like, if I were a rebuilding team, I would gladly 100%. Just take Jake LaRavia, but I wouldn't like give up a first round pick for him, you know. And so I think he probably has more value to you as a player than as a trade piece at the moment. Because the reality is you are going to have injuries. You do need more than 9 or 10 guys. You're going to be using most of your roster. And I think if he has not established himself as a legit, like, playable NBA guy, he seems pretty close to that to me. It hasn't happened in meaningful NBA basketball. It's happened in, like, running out the string NBA basketball, and it's happened in summer league. And those are different things. But I think there's enough variety of skill there. There's enough pedigree there. That now when you put it all together, I feel comfortable with Jake LaRavia as a contributing player on the team. I do think he's on the outside looking in terms of the rotation. He'll have to earn his way into more. But I think the main thing for the Grizzlies is you hope that, you know, when you need him, and you will, he will be able to help you.
It is interesting. And looking at this, looking at the summer league, obviously we would have liked to see more minutes from Zach Edey. But there have been, you know, last summer league, there were, you looked at what Jake LaRavia did, and it was kind of disappointing, right? There have been times that we have certainly had summer leagues that were, some guys were good, but some guys, maybe it's not the end of the world, but kind of disappointing. I don't think there's anyone, like Cam Spencer was, that was kind of intriguing. And Jalen Wells, you saw enough just in terms of size and shooting, and you know he's raw, that I don't come away feeling... There is no one I come away from this summer feeling worse about than I did going into it. Every single one of them, I actually think I feel slightly better about them. All the ones that matter.
I think that's true. I think, you know, with the other three guys you don't really talk about, Spencer, Wells, and Jemison. With Spencer, I would say, and I'm writing a summer league wrap-up column, and it'll go up today. And this is basically a sentence I've written or whatever, but Cam Spencer as a two-way player is the John Conchar type of two-way player. He's not a developmental player. He's a you have to prove what you do works at this level player. And that's sort of it. Like, either it's going to work or it won't. And if it works, he'll be on an NBA roster pretty soon. And if it doesn't, then he won't be in the NBA. Like, I don't think he's like a long-term two-way guy. And so there's reason to wonder about his athleticism. But, like, he was really good at the highest level of college basketball. He was really good when he played in summer league. And so you just keep working your way up. And then you see, you know, if it works, it works. With Jalen Wells, you can see the outlines of why he was an attractive pick in the second round. He's a 6'7" guy who can shoot, and he's not a one-dimensional shooter. Like, he can, like, put the ball on the floor and you know, take a step back and, you know, sidestep around a defender, and, you know, he's got some of that to his game. He kind of disappeared for stretches. He kind of struggled with physicality, like finishing at the rim and stuff like that. To me, it's going to be a question of him, of, like, do you consistently make shots, and can you defend at a decent level? And, like, time will tell, but it's certainly at least a maybe with that stuff. Like, you can definitely see how he can be a good contributing NBA player. With Jemison, I just don't know. Right. I think I've said this before in the show, but I think he might be a little bit of a developmental tweener. He's already 24. I think he's too old to be, like, a long range we're developing this guy, but I think he's still too raw to be, like, the Scottie Pippen, like, you're really playing for us on the big team one or two way. So I think he was okay in summer league, but I feel like the Grizzlies should be on the lookout for, like, their front court Scottie Pippen Jr. if that player materializes somewhere else.
All right, talking to Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. He's got a summer league wrap up that will be coming out shortly, and then he has a summer wrap up that is still waiting. Luke Kennard. Did the Sam Hauser 4 years, $45 million surprise you, or do you think it complicates?
No, and I don't think in what I've written, I've got, like, some Luke Kennard comp contract thing I mentioned. I don't think I'm going to include that as a comp. The thing with the Hauser thing is, A, he's younger, bigger, healthier.
Right.
But then, B, that he was not a free agent. That is a rookie extension that will kick in a year from now. And so that contract will begin in the context of a higher salary cap than the one that Luke Kennard's contract will exist in this season. So I don't see that as a real comp situation. It is interesting that Gary Trent Jr. apparently signed for a one-year minimum. You know, I mean, Malik Beasley signed for like 1 year or six. You know, it's been a kind of a rough summer for players of that type. But we'll see. I don't think Kennard's deal is going to be as low as those two. But I don't. I think it will be lower than maybe what we thought a month ago. We'll see. I've reached the point now where I don't really understand why it's taken so long.
Right.
Unless it's like the Marc Gasol Memorial, like I'm on a boat somewhere, like we're in no hurry situation. I just really don't know.
Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read both those pieces shortly over at the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, we did not mention the Team USA's second consecutive close escape to Germany.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.